What's up, fight fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Monday, August 28th, 2023, and this week's episode, The Zombies' Final Walk to the Octagon. We'll recap the action from UFC Singapore, the featherweight bout between former champion Max Holloway, and the final fight of the Korean Zombie. We'll talk about the latest in MMA news. The PFL finals are set, and we have a location. Talk about a certain bantamweight testing positive and what that could mean for the title picture. And we will cap it off by previewing this Saturday's UFC event from beautiful Paris, France. Cyril Gane taking on Sergey Spivak and the return of Rose Namajunas against Manon Fior. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Hello, Double G. Happy Monday. I managed to go the entire summer without getting bit by a mosquito until this weekend. So I'm feeling a little itchy, but otherwise I'm good.
You know what? At least you know it's from a mosquito, right? It could be a lot worse. Yeah.
It would have been worse if I had just said, good morning, I'm feeling itchy, and I don't know why. That would have been terrible.
Yes. Well, you know, hey, a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of patience to get, you know, only, you know, it's like everything else. You got to wait it out.
You mean rubbing alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Yes, of course, yeah. Of course, yeah, rubbing alcohol, ice packs, and just being comfortable
and
with being uncomfortable.
Don't touch it. That's what everyone does. They touch it.
Man, I've got to tell you, it's really hard not to touch it. That applies to lots of things, but especially mosquito bites. But I'm doing it. I'm managing to do it. So
fingers crossed. You are on one today, aren't you? let's talk about...
This podcast is sponsored by Celsius. I know I talked about it a few months ago, but I'm back on the Celsius train. That stuff's good, man. So yeah, I am on one.
You're on Celsius over Prime.
That's what Myra Bueno Silva should have tried, Celsius, instead of whatever she was on. Anyway, back to you.
I mean, we'll get into that. I mean, Misha Tate had a great response to it, but we'll get it. I mean, come on, we got to talk about the Korean Zombie and Max Holloway, Natalie.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know what? I'm not going to talk about, like, a lot of X's and O's. I think if you watch the fight, you got a good idea of what this was. Max Holloway, timing, speed, and all that, just versatility. Zombie, with respect to how tough and powerful he is, was looking for the one shot. Max Holloway, every time he got going, it was with more volume, higher combinations. Once again, Zombie one shot, and it was very clearly just getting away from him from Jump Street. You have the almost knockdown, you know. It looked like it was a walk-off KO. What was that, in the first round? It was just very one-way traffic. The Korean Zombie in the third round. We talked about this. Is this his last fight? He said, this week, I don't know. Depends how well I do out here. If I had to put my finger on it, and this kind of made it more epic, and I think that's why the fans have reacted, Zombie decided in the middle of the... You know, in the corner before coming out for the third round, you know what? I'm going to go out the way I'm going to go out. It's very clear this is my last one. The time for strategy and all that is over. Let's just leave it all out there one last time. Decides to just go full zombie mode. Stops moving side to side. Stops moving his head. Just walks at Max Holloway and decides we're going to bang. Max Holloway, like the Ricardo Lamas fight, said, you know what, let's dance, brother. And they just start throwing hands. Max Holloway catches him faster. Zombie goes down. Walk off KO. You know, Max with the flex. Most beautiful fight? No. Do I like how it was a movie and Zombie decided I'm going to go out the way I want to go out with a banger? Full respect. I'll take that. Have a great one. We knew it was the last one, and he gave it to us the way he gave it to us. I'm good with it. What about you?
Yeah, man, it was a kamikaze mission, right? Yeah, just decided I'm going to just fly my plane into Max, and, you know, he's going to fly his plane into me once I start, you know, revving my engines here, and we'll see whose plane goes down first. Baller move, hardcore, just gutsy, legendary stuff. And yeah, to make that choice, I mean, he came out with his hands up, right? It was like, clearly he's like, this is different. I'm telling you, Max, here's my signal. I'm not trying to, find an opening. I'm just gonna start whipping my hands. Man, that's amazing. That's the stuff you want to see, right? And for him to, it was essentially him making a sacrifice for his fans and for himself to be able to have that moment to give the, to go out there swinging in the hopes that maybe he lands first and who knows, but knowing full well that he might not. I mean, that's amazing. It was really incredible seeing Max react that way to the victory. You never see that, right? I think the second time he beat Jose Aldo, he had some kind of energy close to that, but this was Max in a way you've never seen him before. Pumped up, jumping the cage, seeing his wife. I mean, never, never, never seen that. So they both came together to give us something really special at the end. I mean, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. When I was watching that, Zombie takes off his gloves. He bends down onto the canvas. They start playing the music. I'm crying. The crowd is singing. My son's like, "What's wrong?" I said, "Joe, this legendary Korean Zombie just retired. They're playing his music. It's just, I don't know, man. Were your eyes dry?"
You know what? The one that got me was the video package that played after, if you watched it, and his highlights, and it ends on that very poignant note. He's like, I just want to be remembered as a guy who always had bangers. And he freaking had a banger. And look, going out there, it was very clear very quickly it was not going to be his night, barring a Hail Mary. And you know what? It was almost like even he didn't mind that. Like, I know there's a good chance that this is it. And so like I think about it, and I remember, I've been gobbling this stuff up for a long time. I remember, like, I think it might have been the WEC pay-per-view, or maybe a little before, and this guy nobody knew called Chan Sung Jung, and he has this cool name, the Korean Zombie, and he fights Leonard Garcia, who I was a big fan of, and nobody knew who this guy was, and he just gets into a freaking banger. And he just had these fights a lot, and there's the really cool T-shirt, the black with the blue zombie, and we always talk about this branding, right? Like, you want good branding. Zombie had great branding at a time when not too many guys did, and especially that post Chuck Liddell, Matt Hughes era, of Spike TV and all that. So, he just had his thing. Obviously, plenty of bangers where he threw down with guys. Had a 7-second knockout, which I think at the time was tied before Masvidal took off with the knee. The Twister submission was pretty epic. And it's just like, you kind of get reminded of that on a night like Saturday, or a day like Saturday, morning for us here in the America. But it was just like, man, like, not every Hall of Fame career is about all the gold and the numbers. Sometimes it's just about in how these people made the audience feel. And that's the biggest compliment I could give to Zombie. I reposted, there was a interview, I talked to Justin Gaethje, our now beloved BMF, and he gave love to Zombie and said, man, that dude's a banger. I get excited watching him too. It's like, that's who that guy was. It was, two shots at the title. I think he stepped in low-key short notice against Aldo. Obviously, the fight with Volk is the fight with Volk. And, look at where Volkanovski is now. There's not quite shame in the way that one went down, in hindsight, right? So it just is what it is. Exciting fighter, great ambassador for the sport worldwide. Never really spoke English, and fans everywhere loved him. What else do you need to say?
Yeah, that's it, man.
To talk about Max Holloway, look, with all due respect, this kind of always felt like it was always going to be a lateral move. We know that Max is the number two in the featherweight division. Beating Zombie was never going to be the fight that, so to speak, changed it for him. That, like, oh, this is gonna, you beat him, let's talk about Volkanovski again, I know that that's been thrown out there. I'll just nip that one in the bud. We got a lot of things that have to happen before we talk about Max Volk 4. You're 0-3. I think that it is more likely you are now waiting to see if someone topples Volk and then you're right there for the title shot, or Volk moves up, which isn't out of the question. Not in the next 12 months, in my opinion, but you'd by this time next year, could we talking about Volca back at 155? Maybe. I will tell you right now, I do think that Max, honest to goodness, is best at 145. Can he make 55? Sure. Do I think that's good for him? No. I think if you ask me, what's the best Max Holloway? 45. Volk, he might just be as good at 55 as he is at 45, and that's just what it is. Now, where do we go next for him? I wouldn't mind Aljamain Sterling. I think Giga Chikadze, who beat Alex Caceres early in the night, is another good option. But I'll tell you this. If Volk isn't moving up to 55 in his next fight, don't fight Ilya. Because if Volk is at 45, Ilya and Volk is the fight. I don't want to see anything else. I think that would be risking burning a great contender in Ilya just for a fight that's not for the title. If Ilya beats Volk, and I know that's a big ask, then you could defend your title against Max. But right now, we don't need to make that before the belt. And that's where I stand.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of tricky for Max because, yeah, of course, we don't look. Do we want to see him be champion again? Yes, but we can't see Volk, Max Volk 4. Yeah, not only was this not enough to get him that shot, but yeah, I don't know what Max could do. He didn't look different enough, and maybe it was just styles make fights, but he didn't look different enough to be able to beat Volk, right? I didn't see a Max, apart from the knockout, which we have not seen. I didn't see a Max that could beat Volk. Not to say that couldn't happen, but just wasn't there yet. But he's so awesome, he's so lovable. So in an ideal world, Volk departs from 145 to open up the doors then for someone like Max or someone else to get the strap. I wouldn't mind if Aljo doesn't seek out a rematch. I wouldn't mind Aldo Max for the title. I think that's fair. I think that MMA math works. And then Volk at 155, we'll see when he gets his opening there, I guess, after. Let me ask you this. Do you think he's going to wait for, it's Oliveira and Makhachev, right? That's the next. Yeah. Do you think he's willing to fight somebody else? Like, is he going to commit to 155 and leave 145? Or just keep waiting for a rematch at 155. I'm kind of wondering what his next move's going to be.
I'm glad you asked that because here's the thing that I also feel like fans are forgetting. Remember that as champion, Volkanovski gets pay-per-view points. Only he knows this and his team. If Volk is not the main event and he takes a fight at 55, I don't think he gets pay-per-view points. And I think, okay, like let's say, and I believe he is booked, but let's say, okay, Volk were to move up, and on the undercard of McGregor Chandler, he fights, let's say, Beneil Dariush. So he's not main event. He's taking a 55 fight rather than, let's say, fight Ilya or somebody at 45. Okay, you can do that, and you could argue that his stock as a fighter would rise a bit because now you're beating top 55ers too. But from a business standpoint, I mean, he is also. You only, we talk about this. What's rule number one? Secure the bag. You are now leaving money on the table for this. And not that, okay, look, some people are into it. Maybe some people are like, well, he's been champion a while, he makes a lot of money. Okay, but now if I'm thinking about, big picture, multidimensionally, is it really that much difference if I beat a Dariush or a Fiziev or someone like that compared to, oh, I defend my 45 belt, I get the pay-per-view points money, and I just keep racking up my defenses over guys like Ilya, Giga, etc. I don't think that's a big difference. I think if you were going to give him another shot at the 55 belt, you would give it to him coming off a victory over in his featherweight title defense than the same way you would if he beat a 55er. Because of who Volk is. He's the number one consensus guy in MMA right now, skill for skill. His striking, his grappling, his athleticism, his ability to execute, his conditioning, all that stuff. Most people put Volkanovski at number one. So I think if you were going to give him a title shot, the difference between fighting a 55 fight or fighting a 45 title defense with pay-per-view points isn't really that different. So economically, I'd say, why don't you just defend the featherweight title? you get more money for it, and you're still showing how good you are. You get what I mean?
I do get what you mean. I do get what you mean, but I feel
Would it make
like
him look more badass to, like, let's say Connor doesn't fight and he takes out Michael Chandler? Absolutely.
that would be amazing.
But that's also, like, once again, if Connor's not fighting Chandler, is Chandler still the main event of a pay-per-view? I don't know. You tell me that. Would
Not
they be
unless
co
they,
hey,
yeah.
would they be co-main event now to Leon and Colby in December, hypothetically? You tell me that. So there's a lot of dimensions to this besides, oh, a fight at 45 or a fight at 55.
Yeah, it's tricky and not in a bad way. We just have a lot of interesting options when we make like a Venn diagram of like Volkanovski as pertains as relates to 45-55. Yeah, and on either side of the of him in those divisions, there's lots of enjoyable options for him to fight. But yeah, Chandler is not a main event guy as the A side, right? Not despite
Well,
all that he's done.
if they were to do that, they would call it like Volkanovski versus Chandler, the pay-per-view.
Very interesting. A lot of this is, depends on Volk's next move. I feel
Well,
like he should just depart 145. Like, honestly, just move on. Go to
you
55.
I'm telling you, the Ilia fight. We have this talk.
Know. I
This
don't know
is like
why I
our
don't care
biggest
about this
debate,
guy. I don't
maybe
know
in the
why I don't
last
care about
several
him.
years, like. Should Volk fight Ilia? Yes. And you say no, and I wonder why.
Well, it's like the way Nunes never fought. What's her name? Didn't I say that last time? Caitlin Vieira. It's like,
Kilavir.
you don't need it. Ilia
I guess, yeah,
isn't
but here's
important or
the
special
thing.
enough to me.
It's kind of like, okay, at least for Nunes, where do you have to go? Volk, I hate to say, but 55 has other things to worry about. Islam has Charles. And then whoever wins that has Gaethje most pertinently in this moment. So I just don't see a scenario where Volk fights for the 55 belt before next July.
That's true.
Yeah, like, what are you gonna do? Be back up again? I feel like that's now wasting time. So that's just me. Like, hey, if you tell me Islam or Charles handles these two fights back to back, like, okay, maybe next December Volk back at 55? Sure. But until then, I don't know that I see that. I feel like even, okay, let's say Islam wins. All right, you want the Gaethje fight. That's big money.
Yeah.
It would just make you look so much more dominant to take out a guy like Gaethje right now. If Charles were to beat Islam, all right, fight Gaethje, but then you have to probably do a trilogy with Islam. Volk doesn't fit into this equation in this moment, now, like I said, a year more or less from now, could he? Heck yeah, but right now, I just don't see it.
Okay. I
And that's
mean,
why. Now, let me ask you before I let you go. Let's say Volk stays at 45. Max versus Giga, or do you feel like there's another 45 or you'd rather give Max?
guess that's it. Just him. I can't think of anyone else right now. And then, unless you want to get crazy and bring Aljo in, but I don't know what Aljo wants to do. So.
Yeah, I'm not even sure about Aljo. And also. I guess that's my thing. How long is Aljo going to be out? That's a question you got to
Yeah,
answer.
yeah.
But yeah, then again, Max just fought. It's not like he's fighting next week. So yeah, we'll figure this out. But yeah, that's my number one. One Giga to Aljamain if he moves up, and that's it. Let's talk about some other stuff. Flyweight division. Aaron Blanchfield beats Tyler Santos. I'm not gonna lie. When I watch this, I'll tip my hand. It's one of those things I woke up and out of habit, I did it, and I realized I shouldn't have because I told myself, Gabriel, don't check your phone. Go straight to your TV, fire up ESPN Plus, and just watch the fights. Don't look at results. And as a habit, I turn it on Instagram. Aaron Blanchfield beats Tyler. Ah, oh, dang it. Because that fight happened at like 5 a.m. our time,
Yeah.
5:30. Anyway, I watched that first round and I'm like, wait, Aaron Blanchfield comes back to win this one?
I know, me too. I was like, this, I must have read that wrong.
Tyler, look, she looked like she was gonna roll through this one. Just speed, accuracy,
Power.
straight punches down the line. Yeah, looked a little bigger than Aaron, who is a very strong girl for 25 too. I was like, oh, okay, you're letting them know that you were supposed to be the girl who got the belt last year. Anyway, the fact is, I would argue second round very close. Tyler kind of gets going early, but then just gives up too much. There's so much. I heard Uriah Faber describe it this way: dead time. There wasn't anything dramatic, but Aaron Blanchfield just kind of burned the clock trying to get Tyler down. And because you are more defending, you are not earning points. So if you don't have something big and significant when you're rolling, that can sometimes, take that, you start to lose points, you lose the round very precariously in that way. I think that's what happened. Aaron doesn't really get Tyler down, doesn't do anything dramatic, but she's able to make Tyler just have to hold on to her to keep on the feet and loses that round. Third round, a little more of the same. I thought Tyler got a little tired. Aaron just kind of kept pushing, never really did anything dramatic again, but still, once again, Tyler slowing down, isn't scoring the points, so you give it to Aaron. Tough round, tough fight, gritty fight. Wasn't the prettiest, but Aaron Blanchfield gets it done. What was your reaction?
I mean, I'm on the same page as you. First round, I'm like, there's no, how the heck did Erin Blanchfield turn this around? Her nose got busted. She was just getting popped in the nose over and over again for 5 minutes, getting whacked in the face. So I think it had, well, I don't want to take anything away from Erin Blanchfield's grittiness, determination, no quit attitude, right? Because, and cardio, you needed all that to be able to eke out a second round. Which I guess, yeah, it was hers, even though she never did anything. She never put Tyla in danger, but she basically neutralized her. Okay, I guess that's enough to win the round. And then round three, yeah, Aaron had a little more of an advantage there. Tyla was tired, and that last shot at the end, I think it dropped Tyla. I mean, if there were 10 more seconds, it would have been interesting to see how that ended. So yeah, not like this crazy dominant path to victory, but it was a matter of Aaron just staying with it more than Tyla in those last two rounds that got her the win. But if I just look at that first round, man, Tyla looks so good. And yeah, it reminds you why she had all that success against Valentina Shevchenko. I was surprised that Aaron was getting hit as much as she was because I thought she was better than that defensively. And so I was very surprised. Was there chatter on the interwebs about, did Tyler Santos get robbed, or was it like, yeah, kind of like how we see it, Aaron managed to do enough to get the win and that's it.
Yeah, I think the morning fight kind of, I think the fact that not a lot of a lot of people just kind of went with the decision rather than broke it down,
Yeah.
it's kind of like the hardcore fans said we could debate this, but everyone, the general fan who didn't wake up for that was like, oh, I guess Aaron did what Aaron does because she's Aaron Blanchfield and been hyped up for the last, 6 months, right? So, I think that was just it. Like I said, I didn't feel controversial. I felt like that was a little bit more. Look, it wasn't as dramatic, right? We obviously look what she did to Andrade. Look what she did to Molly. It wasn't that assertive kind of victory. There was a lot of like, we saw a lot of grittiness, but we didn't see anything like, oh, really took control of it. It just kind of felt like they kind of stifled each other to the finish line, and Aaron got the better of the dance. Okay, now. Here's the biggest thing that helps Erin. She does have a great wave of fan support. I think that she really, the UFC feels it. I think that the fans kind of buying what they're selling. Next big thing, she is the best, I think she's only 24, 25. She is the best young prospect, O'Malley, if O'Malley was it, for the guys, she's it for the women, right? Just all of these young flyweight girls under 25 or 25 and under, she's probably the number one. Okay. Winning in main events like she did over Andrade, big fight at MSG, now this one, all of that works in her favor. Was it the big gauntlet throwing down, Alexa Valentina, y'all watch your back, I'm coming? No, it was not that performance. But maybe she doesn't need it. Now, let's look at what we have this week. Rose, Manon. We're not going to do X's and O's here. That's the end of the show. But I will acknowledge Rose Namajunas, been gone a minute. If it isn't the most, she is the biggest star out of all three of them, Aaron, Manon, and and herself. So it's like, if you win it, could you sneak in there? Maybe. But then that's like, all right, who is she fighting, Valentina or Alexa? That's maybe one. What has more intrigue? What feels like the better fight? How good does she have to look? Because I will say, in the last year of being gone, I can't help but get a little bit of the feeling that the fan support kind of isn't there behind Rose right now. I think there's a little bit of a, bad taste in the mouth over the way that things went down with Carla. And not that I completely don't get it. If we're talking narrative-wise, storyline-wise, it is very perplexing that you can do what you did to Weili Zhang, or Zhang Weili, and then, you have this kind of performance with Carla Esparza.
It's astounding, like in a it's a mind blowing, like the it doesn't even seem like the same person. But clearly it's a psychological component, the psychological component, right? That's the difference between those two opponents.
And so look, there it is. So it's like, if Rose just ekes by Manon Fiore, who's a very good fighter, and I think stylistically actually poses a lot of problems for someone like Rose, particularly with the size, I don't know that, what you've done before in this moment pushes you past the wave that Aaron is riding right now. Now, look, obviously injuries, timing, anything could happen. And then for Manon Fiore, I believe she's on 7 or 8 fight win streak. We're now in the Bilal Muhammad Leon Edwards territory. It's kind of like, how much more do you need to see from me to before you just give me that shot? And I think that's very fair. And I would still say that, let's say this, if Manon just straight up, and with respect, she seems like a lovely girl. English is not her first language. If she goes out there, starches Rose Namajunas, goes to the camera and delivers like a practice promo in English, I might say, okay, we need to, give this girl her respect. Let's get it done. Barring something like that, I also feel like once again, Aaron gets the title shot and Manon gets the first crack at Aaron, kind of, or gets the crack out of Alexa, Valentina, Aaron, next year. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I
That
do.
that's how I see all this playing out with the storylines, who's writing hype right now, etc. You know what I mean?
I do. I have a feeling though that Rose is gonna just come out and do something, classic Rose, classic Rose, I would consider
Remember, we gotta
anything.
get to this at the end of the show too.
Okay, I'll save it.
It's like,
Pause.
wait, and
But I'm in it.
you're
I'm getting
skipping
excited.
scenes on the DVD.
It's the Celsius. It's taking over my brain. Okay.
Oh my
I'll
gosh.
save it for the end.
Anthony Smith, fun fight with Ryan Spann. Didn't look like, I'm not gonna lie, I thought it may not go his way for a minute there. I think it was in the second round. Obviously, hangs on, gets it done, when they slow down. Junior Tafa, anytime those big guys throw down like that, it's very exciting, and bodies fell to the floor. Very fun. So yeah, if you woke up early or caught the highlights, it was a good night in Singapore. This does make me hopeful for things like Zhang Weili, Yan Shonan in Asia. 'Cause like, look, the fans like it, the fighters are delivering, and I know there's just this comfort and familiarity, but I would hope that it's like, no, if it can be everything it can be, it would be cool to know that you could have that kind of show in Asia. So I do like that. I hope this is a sign of more things to come, because obviously you want to see the best fighters from everywhere throwing down. So I like it in that way. Let's talk about the latest in MMA news. The PFL had their final playoff event. I'm gonna just ask you, did you have a chance to see a Clay Collard, Shane Burgos?
No, I didn't.
Oh my
And
God, go watch it. I'm
I'll
not
watch
even. I'm gonna just tell you this. It's worth. You know the result. Go watch it anyway. It's that good. I'll leave it
Okay,
at
I'll
that.
check it out.
But look, Clay Collard did his thing, beat Shane Burgos. Olivier, gets the victory, and now we have the final set. So we have look, Clay Collard would take on defending champion Olivier 55. Sada Bussi will take on 2018 champion Magomed Karimov. Magomed's only got one PFL loss, and it was to Ray Cooper. He beat Sadabu earlier the year that he lost to Ray. Sorry. So, well, yeah, I had that right. Sorry. He beat Sadabu, so you got some history to run it back. We talked about the other fights over the last few weeks. Hennin Ferreira, Denis Goltzau, the Battle of the Giants. Larissa Pacheco is back in the final against a first-time finalist, Marina Mokhnakina. The featherweight Cinderella story, Jesus Pinedo, taking on relative newcomer Gabriel Braga. Obviously, the story of Impa Kasanganai coming back has this opportunity against Josh Silveira. Natalie, okay, how do I put this? I get it. There's so much UFC every week. There's so much. Do you keep up with the Logan Paul, Dylan Danis stuff? I get it. There's so much out there that at a certain point, it's kind of like keeping up with all the cop shows. It's like I watch Law and Order and Chicago this and Rookie Blue and The Rookie and
FBI with the
FBI
FBI.
this, Criminal Minds, whatever, NCIS. And it's like, okay, let's say NCIS is the number one. Man, like I keep up with so much NCIS that I'm sorry, I don't, or like Law and Order. There's like four Law and Orders, and it's like I keep up with all this SVU that I just don't have time to watch Criminal Intent. I get it. I explicitive get it. This is a very, very intriguing finals. I think there's a lot of storylines, there's a lot of sentiment for this, the newcomers who are in their first finals. I think there's a lot of that going on. I think there's some really fun matchups to, with the veterans, Sadabu and Magomed, Ferreira, Goltsov. I think there's a lot of good stuff to chew on from this. And I get it. For some people, it's just about Ngannou and Jake Paul. To me, there's just so much more meat on the bone here for the final. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, yeah, PFL makes me feel like Jekyll and Hyde because I'm half the time we're talking about them, I'm saying, oh, they're great. They have all this new energy. I hope they get Bellator to bring those guys over and it'll make the tournament more exciting. And then when it actually comes time to watch it, I turn into the other guy. I don't remember which one's the bad guy. And
Hyde.
yeah, thank you. And then I don't watch anything because, as you say, there's already a lot of content out there. You're making these tough choices. Half of the time when the TV's on, I'm watching Paw Patrol, and that's not an MMA promotion, in case you're wondering. So it's, my TV schedule has changed. The allotment of MMA has decreased, and PFL has been, suffering. So I have to make a concerted effort to go out and watch their content. And I feel bad saying that out loud because I used to just, when it first came out Thursday night, there I was, the whole thing. So anyway, it makes me feel weird that I like them, but I never watch them, or I don't watch them as often as I should. In any case, this finals is pretty good. Like I like the names that made it through, I'm looking forward to watching it, and hopefully this time I actually will.
So I think that it's one of those things to me. What is the, and I guess it's tough to boil it down to one thing, but it's like, all right, what has to go right? They are running on a Friday, so even if UFC runs that week, all right, you're not going head to head. I think that's a very, very big key. All right, that's there. They are not running on Black Friday. That's another one, because I think that that's, there's certain holidays where it's like, TV doesn't run against the Super Bowl. Most networks don't run against Olympics. There's a lot of things that they're like, look, we're not gonna try to compete. We're just gonna move our schedule. Sometimes we have the main event, sometimes we don't. I think that that's another key. My biggest one that I thought of, and PFL, I hope, just takes this in stride. I think the worst thing they could do is go to pay-per-view. I think that if they go to pay-per-view again, knowing that they've promised Ngannou and promised Jake, and you're gonna charge the fans again for not either of those guys when you run your credit card info. I think that that would be their biggest misstep. And I know I just hyped it up. It's a great grouping for the finals. There's a lot of fun matchups. Objectively, it should be on paper a good night of MMA. I just think that, and this is a little bit of me being, Mr. Hyde. Like, I know it's good MMA, but I also know how tough it is to get fans to say, I'm gonna fork over my money for this content when I've gotten it free. When UFC is probably gonna have a free card the day after, and it's like, well, I actually know those guys. I don't have to educate myself on Dennis Goltzall. It's like, I get it, and I think that that's one of those things is like, I would hope that the finals, in all honesty, remember, by the time it runs, we'll have already seen Ngannou versus Fury. I hope they bring out Jake, bring out Ngannou, have ideas for who they're gonna fight by this time. It's August still. You have till November. Let's get some fights. Let's get some matchups. I hope they do that and that the finals becomes a let's launch PFL 2024 party. Let's tell you we're doing Ngannou versus the winner, having Ngannou there, do the face off in the cage, all that stuff. Do that. Jake Paul, get on the broadcast. Have a few guys. Maybe they get the fight, maybe they don't, but just sell it like this. I think to just, oh, we're gonna wait and see and charge pay-per-view. I think that would be the biggest whiff of the ball if they promote it like that, because I just feel like there's so many other options you could do that would hype it up. That would also give these guys some shine. And that was a long-winded answer, but that's just my thing. What about you?
Well, yeah, I cannot disagree with that. I can only fully embrace that thinking. Is sorry. So Ngannou Fury will be when again?
October.
October. Okay. So that, yeah, that's like, is that why they're waiting so long to do this? Because it seems too far away.
Do you mean?
November 20, like there's not going to be any more PFL until November 24th.
Correct.
Yeah,
Well,
I know they
also, I
like to
think.
do their end of the year thing, but this just seems like we'll complain about Bellator, like the tournaments. Are the matchups are so spread out by the time they get to the next one you forget about it. And I know this is the finals, but it is a little bit far away. So
I don't disagree with you. Remember, they could always put on events that are non-championship fights. And then there's another thing you gotta remember. They kind of want their finalists to be healed up from anything they took in the season so they could be good to go for the final.
that's true. So they're giving them some
Because
time.
imagine you do all this building up and then you just need like four backups in one night.
True that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the big boon that they have going for them is that Fury and Ngannou will have already occurred, and if Ngannou doesn't win, we're hoping he at least makes a good showing of himself, hurts Fury, does something that gets us excited to see him in PFL. Although honestly, like Ngannou is still Ngannou in MMA, like fighting Fury won't change who he is when he's in the cage. So it would just be nice though for PFL. And yeah, Jake Paul that does Jake Paul things, and that always seems to get attention. So I'm with you. Hopefully they're not trying to make this a pay-per-view and they just let us watch it, and then they use that energy that they build with this and having those big names there to get us to convince us to pay money for something later.
Yeah, it's. I guess my thing about it is just like, I get it. And I think that, like, I say this, I describe it, and part of me also thinks about, like, the Bellator, like, oh, well, do I want Bellator to go away? No. But then, like, I don't feel like I can say that and then tell them, you guys can't do pay-per-view. And yet, I know the business, and I say this, this is my biggest thing. And basketball, football don't have this problem. Soccer doesn't have this problem. I'm not talking MLS. I'm talking like freaking Champions League stuff. If you are on Twitter and you're active enough after a UFC pay-per-view, every time, let me reiterate this, every single time you scroll long enough, you will see a guy, no matter how good the event was, say something to the effect of, "Man, what an epic night of fights." Like, you know, space that I didn't pay for. Every single pay-per-view. For
Hilarious.
UFC, for the quote, gold standard, top, biggest show in the business. And they say that. And there's a lot of people who do it, and they'll say, like, yeah, I, you know. Like, ask how many fans, hey, do you pay the 85, 90? And it's like, psh.
No, I'm the only one who does that.
You get what I'm saying. Ask a few people and imagine what they tell you about spending that much a month. I promise you, you're gonna have a few people look at you and say something about, wait, you actually, you know, you get what I'm saying. And mind you, full respect to you, Natalie. I'm
Thank
telling you, Buffalo Wild Wings,
you.
B Dubs,
Oh my God, I do love
freaking
their boneless chicken wings.
girl, and you, dude, $20, not 100. Think about it.
Oh.
They have a little arcade for Joe in the slow
Okay, I was gonna
prelims. You
say,
could,
can I leave him somewhere?
I mean, dude, you could take him to the arcade for a minute. He'll get tired. You know this. But my thing about it is that, like, look, there's things you could do. Like, there's fans, you know, who just say that, and it's like, knowing that they do that for UFC, it's hard for me to say, oh yeah, just stack the event, build it, they will come. I get it. I get why it's an uphill battle for these companies. All I can say as an observer, knowing this about the business, is, and maybe this is the frustration of Scott Coker, Pete Murray, and Don Davis, and all of them. You do this, you just have to put yourself in the best position to just take off with it. And you know, I know they have ways they like to do things. All I can say from an observing standpoint, what would be the best way to promote this if it were me? And try to make that a reality and hope for the best. But I also get it. Investors need a return on their money and a lot of other things that I'm not privy to that I'm aware happen. All of that, you know, is to say, how do you do this? And to bring it back to the final, this needs to be the event that, hey, we are excited for 2024. Let's watch PFL Europe. Let's watch Challenger. Let's get hyped because it's coming. And these are the guys and girls. That's what you got to do. I think if you just try to go tit for tat, look at all these cool knockouts and submissions, that isn't going to be enough. It just isn't. And yeah, that's all I got. There we go.
Okay, I like
Savannah Marshall fighting, she, you know, the latest. So now they got Amanda, Clarissa, and Savannah fighting MMA. These very good, very dominant female boxers. What are your thoughts?
You know, I gotta tell you, I am not familiar with Miss Savannah Marshall, but
What? No, just kidding.
yeah, I know,
I'm
sorry.
kidding. I'm kidding.
No, I deserve it. But I like that they're adding to the group, and that sort of makes for like a sub league in PFL. You know, you could maybe pair up the boxers in a cage and tell them you have to throw kicks too and see what happens. I was pleased with Clarissa Shields' performance. I know she's 1-1, but I mean, that was, look, she's an Olympic gold medal, 2-time winning champion, boxing champion. She's an athlete that's put herself through it all. And no doubt Savannah Marshall is tested herself in similar ways. So they're going to bring it. They're not going to want to, you know, look like chumps. So I like this. You know, they're being creative. There's a platform for them in the PFL that there wouldn't necessarily be in UFC. And so I'm open arms here for this strategy. But, you know, are they part of the tournament or not? And maybe it's good that they're not, because, you know, Clarissa Shields wasn't, but you want to just do these sort of like exhibition type fights with a big name. I think that maybe works to help round out the names for any given event.
Well, I think what's funny is that Clarissa has fought, what's it called, Savannah. And so, you know, and they had their whole face off in the cage, and Clarissa gets in like her wrestling stance, and it's like, oh, I got you again this time, too. And it's like, oh my gosh. You know how I feel about the dominant women boxers doing MMA. By all means, go be all you could be and test yourself, but I'm always disappointed because it's like, is Floyd Mayweather out there doing jiu-jitsu tournaments in retirement? No, he's still freaking doing exhibition boxing and paying good, getting paid good for it. Why? Yes, partly he's Floyd Mayweather, but it's like, because he has that and he's that good that fans want to watch it. And it always disappoints me. Like, look, much love, Savannah. She seems like a nice woman. Kicks butt with the gloves on. By all means, go do you. But to me, it's like, I would rather hear that these women are getting the kind of purses that they don't need to learn jiu-jitsu because fans actually want to see them do the thing they are so much better at than the rest of the world.
Yeah, man, but they're not, and they have to just,
And
they gotta,
I get it, but it's like, that makes me feel like it is a. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we fighting to put them in MMA rather than fighting to get them more money then? And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm on the little island, but yeah, that's how I feel. But yeah, look, by all means, I'm sure they're gonna test her, and it's great for the name value. But that's just my thing. I always feel like, look, there are plenty of other well-rounded athletes coming up, been doing MMA for years, and that's their thing. That I think objectively I'd rather see in the cage as opposed to, hey, let's put Savannah Marshall as the featured prelim before three championships. So that's how I feel.
Real quick, do you think when they make these decisions, when they go out to these fighters, it's just been female boxers so far. Well, I guess Jake Paul, but do you think they tell them, like, let me see you throw a kick? like, what you got?
I hate to
Or do
say
they
it,
just say, just
no.
want to try this out and see what happens?
I hate to say it, no. I think what they do is they have to promote it and sell it on, hey, is this something you would try? Is this something you would train hard for? We'll find a beginner for you to get in the cage with.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, I'll give you another one. Biagio Ali Walsh. Big name value. I talked to him a bunch of times, seen him at a few events. Nice kid, great athlete. I can't help but be like, this guy's still an amateur. All his fights in PFL are amateur. He does the walkouts and the talks and the graphics and all that are just like the pros, but he's still an amateur. But they push him, they're building him, and it's like, he's not even fighting other pros yet. And so my thing about it is like, they're gonna do the whole production, the whole song and dance, but they're gonna, at the end of the day, match up these women with someone according to their skill level. The same way, they're not getting a 5-0 pro to go take a random amateur bout. One, athletic commission doesn't allow it. But two, it's just kind of like we're sidestepping this and we're just like, we are ignoring their lack of experience. We're going to promote them for who they are. Like Biagio, well, this top prospect, grandson Muhammad Ali, etc. Okay, and we build on that. Cool. Like I said, very talented young athlete building his way up like plenty of other fighters do. Savannah Marshall, they're going to sell you a million things about her boxing credentials, and they're going to bring in an amateur and probably sell their story about how they got into MMA. And the final product with the Marshall fight isn't going to be as good as some of the MMA you get, let's say, on Contender Series. So, I know. I felt like I poo-pooed on it, but it's like, I want you to get paid, Savannah. I hope that's the narrative. Because that's what I'm
Yeah, no, I
trying.
get it. I don't think you poo-pooed on it. It's like legit commentary. Like, these are strange. Look, is it always, there's always been these, exhibition type matchups in combat sports, as far back as you can think. But we're at a time now where on the women's side, there's legit skill and talent, and it's kind of hard to see someone like Clarissa Shields, and I'm going to say Savannah Marshall, even though I've never seen her fight, go into a different type of combat sports where they just don't look as good, and that's kind of hard to see.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Let's talk about the women's bantamweight that drew headlines. Mayra Buena Silva test positive for just banned substance. I just had it right now. Arytaline acid. So she claims it's part of a drug that is in her ADHD medication that she claims she's never had an issue with. Said she usually stops it on Monday, but that it came up higher on her test, Her claim is that the medicine did not metabolize as usual, so I'm assuming sometimes it is a little higher, but it's never high enough to flag. She said, it's not like I tested in these really high levels. I just happen to have a little more, and it passed the, quote, limit. Obviously, submits Holly Holm. That fight is now going to be overturned. It hasn't been overturned yet, but this is one of those things. If they find it in your system and the B sample is also positive, they overturn it. It doesn't matter if you took it in a back alley in the dark or if someone held you down and injected you with it. If it's in your system when you fight, the fight doesn't count. They overturn the decision. So, look, obviously, Mara Buena Silva, you can make the argument that she was the one who was right there behind Raquel and Pena for a title shot. What do you think this? Where do you think this leaves women's bantamweight? Obviously, we know where it leaves her. She's got to prove it now. Good chance 6 month suspension, etc. What do you think?
I don't think it puts a damper too much on title shot contention. You know, it should have been Pena and Pennington, and Mayra Bueno Silva after the win was just kind of like third in line, and so now maybe someone else gets to move up to that third place spot. I'm mostly surprised, though, that Ritalin is on the banned substance list. I always knew of it as a drug that was for mental health, according to Google here. Yeah, ADHD, right? It says that it works by improving your focus and reducing impulsive behaviors. That seems like a strange one to be on the list, but okay, I guess it is, because you could make a case that it, I don't know, helps you focus in training more than someone who's not on it. I don't know, man. It seems weird, especially if it's for this condition that she has, ADHD. So it just kind of sucks, I think, for her, and definitely doesn't seem like the kind of thing you should make fun of someone for, like has been happening on the internet. Also, it says here, according to Google, it can treat narcolepsy by promoting wakefulness. That tells me, I guess, it gives you an energy boost, and so perhaps that's why it's on the banned substance list. But it just seems a little bit like, come on, guys, really?
Yeah, I think Misha Tate said it best. It's like, you know, I get a headache. I feel like I'm afraid to take Tylenol because of things like this. And once again, it's kind of like, if you could prove it, I think there should be things, you know. I know, I think she said she's explored, you know, an exemption for her medicine and said, look, like, I can, I'll make sure the levels are this, I'll show you this, and you could test this, but it's like, let me just take it, because, you know, I get the jitters, I can't focus, et cetera, et cetera, yeah. Right? I would want that for her. You know, it's like, if, you know, this is the case, then what are we doing, guys? Like, you want, that's just how I feel, you know?
Yeah, and yeah.
Like you said, you brought it up. If I had to take a guess, the only thing this does is that, like, once again, if anything happens with Raquel and Juliana, where does, you know, who steps in? Now Caitlin Vieira is an option, you know, Norma Dumont to coming back to 35. I mean, now suddenly the things get a little more complicated and interesting, right?
So yeah, I mean, Irene Aldana, like, I know that when you lose the title shot, you got to get in the back of the line, but how far back does she need to go? Because she's still badass, you know. So does she get to be in line somewhere also? I don't know.
At bantamweight, you shouldn't have to go that far back, in yeah, all honesty. Yeah. But, you know, who knows? Yeah, that's just how I feel. I think that it's more interesting. I imagine they're going to put Pena Pennington. They might put him in November. They might put him in December as a co-main. That's what I'm expecting. I think that's the only reason why we haven't gotten an announcement. It's they don't need it yet, so they'd rather just like, oh, you know, tickets are going on sale next week, all right, now it's time to unveil. Oh, it's going to be Colby Leon, Pena Pennington, December, Las Vegas, whatever.
Yeah.
I saw the thing. I don't know. You saw it. I guess Fight Pass is announcing McGregor Chandler in December, like on the 16 or something.
They have it? Really?
Yeah, but then it's like they haven't announced it, so they're like, is that a placeholder or is it, you know? Personally, I think that's like, okay, that's the expectation, and I think, you know, you just have a web guy who accidentally hit publish with the
Yeah.
placeholder.
Oops.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's happening, and they watch Dana be like, yeah, our web guy just hit the wrong button, and
Oh
it's
my
like,
gosh. Let's see.
really?
They take it down already? I don't see it anymore.
A few people didn't see it, and I think they changed it, so it's like, you know.
Conor McGregor was probably like, yes.
Well, okay, so you know what's tough? Imagine, all right, so here's the thing that I think you gotta really remember. Imagine all the fans, let's say you are, all right, it's Connor, and anymore it feels like it could be Connor's last fight, right? Imagine if you're a fan and you purchase the plane and the hotel from Ireland, and then you find out Connor isn't actually fighting in December. Think of all the headaches. Give me my tickets back. Give me my plane. Give me my hotel. Remember, UFC doesn't offer refunds unless the main event changes. If they didn't announce McGregor Chandler as the main event, then you don't get your money back for saying it changed because they never said it was the main event.
Right.
But now, obviously, you have a number of fans hating the brand because of this incident. So I think that's why, while for us who will cover it no matter who's fighting, I think that that's why, as a business, they're like, yo, we can't play like this. You know what I mean? So,
Got it.
yeah. Let's talk about this Saturday. Obviously, the big guys are in action, and the women's flyweights are in action. So let's talk about this co-main event first. Manon Fiore, Rose Namajunas. Rose has not fought since last May, moving up to flyweight. Said in an interview that she thought she might, you know, even retire. Now is exploring it, now just is doing her thing. So, and also, I believe Manon Fiore had an injury. She hasn't fought since October. One of the things I like about this fight is that stylistically, Manon kind of has that karate stance and striking style. I think that with the size, that works very well for, you know, for her and how she matches up with someone like Rose, who is very well known for her boxing and her movement. Not as much really getting some whip behind some hard kicks, but obviously she mixes it all up under Trevor Whitman's coaching. It makes for a fun fight stylistically, and I think it's one of those, you know how good Rose Namajunas can be technically. So now it becomes, can she do this against a bigger athlete like Manon? And if you're Manon, okay, you know, overcome this challenge, but then also you should be more powerful, be able to impact someone like Rose Namajunas more. Now, grappling, that's another one. On paper, who should be the better grappler? Should be Rose. When you have a bigger fighter in there, harder to take down, harder to hold down, that now becomes, well, is it maybe still favoring Manon Fiore? So, all of this is to say, Rose Namajunas can announce herself back in a big way, but if you're being honest, even though she's not a big name, Manon Fiore has a lot of factors in her favor.
Yeah, she does. And so, this is her chance to shut down new competition from a really big name entering her division. I mean, her nickname is the Beast, right? Let's see how much of that she can display. She looks tough, she fights tough. If we see any version of Namajunas apart from the one in Carl and Esparza Namajunas 2, I think Namajunas will get the victory. Just better striker, better grappling, higher ring intelligence, more experience. So all signs are pointing to win for Namajunas. I don't know if she can get a finish, but part of me feels like, yeah, you know what? She might. I think she could get a submission victory. Let's see. Round two, round three. She'll get a rear naked choke round three. That's what I think is going to happen. That's what I hope is going to happen. Is it possible that Nami Yunus is in there fighting timidly like she did against Carlos Barza? Man, it is possible, but I really, really do believe the Carlos Barza thing was a singular, like, mind
It's an
fart.
anomaly.
Yeah, because it was about a specific loss in a specific way, and she was very afraid of having to repeat that, and she was just too much in her head. And Esparza is just, for Esparza, there was no psychological, fear. It was like, I'm just going to be feeding off of you. I'm going to be working, looking to react to your movement, and there was zero movement from Nami Yunus. So I really do think that was just an anomaly. Thank you for the correct word there. I think Rose is going to look good, and I think she's going to submit Manon round three. Boom.
I think
Nine.
that the size, Manon is good. She's really good.
Yeah.
I think her ability to strike and maintain distance. I think she's on a roll. I think that she's had enough time. I think the fact that she's in Paris, she's at
Yeah.
home. I think that the size, the timing, the consistency, I think style. I think Manon's got this one, actually. I think she's
Oh,
gonna
she.
shock Nam Yunis. I think she's gonna spoil the party. Unanimous decision, Manon Fior.
Okay.
Yeah,
That
that's
would be
it.
hard to watch, but yeah, I mean, the Paris, the home advantage in a place where they don't get a lot of fights and only just started getting MMA is, yeah, that's a big deal.
I mean, remember, she's been in UFC rolling for a minute now too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so beat a very, consistent top contender, Caitlin Chookagian. I mean, everything should be there, right? So that's how I think. Obviously, the main event, Sergey Spivak taking on Ciryl Gane. We know how good Ciryl Gane can be on the feet. And, it's almost weird. I almost want to call the Jon Jones thing an anomaly. I saw Ciryl's thing say it. He said, all his coaches said, don't throw big. Don't try to wing for the big shot. And he said, what do I do in the first round? I wing for the big shot, and that's how Jon Jones got me down, and there we go. And it's like,
Yeah.
part of me almost wants to say, was it that freaking simple? Because I really hope not. But, I only watch it. I don't fight. So maybe it is. I know how good he can be. I think that what makes this fun is that he is also a very sturdily built heavyweight. I know Spivak doesn't look like Francis Ngannou out there on the scales. He's a very fast, very powerful guy himself. And he's very, difficult for these guys to deal with because he's deceptively strong and powerful and technically sound. He's on a good run. He's not getting into these battles where he's taking damage and showing you these massive openings, right? He's been very consistent, and I think that's where the danger is for Spivak. He's a very tough guy. You gotta respect that he has the ability to go out there more so than just any other heavyweight. Or more so than most heavyweights. I know everyone's like, well, the big guy is all of them, and it's like, no, but not every heavyweight is Ngannou and Derek Lewis too. Spivak is closer to that neighborhood. So I think that you gotta acknowledge the danger, but then again, it's about the movement, the speed, the timing, the grappling. Does Spivak try to grapple with Cyril and open him up that way? You put all that together, it could be something. I'm gonna tip my hand just because the show's going late. I think there's something to be said for fighting at home for Cyril. I think once again he has something he really wants to prove following that loss to Jon Jones. I'm gonna favor Cyril Gane. I think that he's gonna continue a good night for France out there. What about you?
Yeah, I am also favoring Ciryl Gane. He's gonna, keep the distance and strike when he sees the opening. So he's gonna play it smart, but not boring. He's not a boring fighter. And I think he's gonna get a TKO round three.
Okay, yeah, I will say, I feel like this saddens me to say it because I also love a banger as much as the next guy. I mean, I think that a win for Ciryl Gane means that he fought him very patiently. A lot of movement, stay out of the pocket kind of deal. And, is that always the most fun to watch? No, but I also feel like he's at that level. That's how he's going to do it. Similar to the Derek Lewis fight. And I know, that's not a disrespect to Spivak's skill level. I just think he's gonna try to do a lot of that, a lot of movement, a lot of pick his spots, and use his speed to stay out of it. So, Yeah, I just predict that for Seulgon. And Natalie, can you believe it? Next week, it could be the rise of the Joker. Anarchy at its finest. Sean Strickland fighting for a UFC championship against superstar Israel Adesanya. What are your thoughts?
I highly doubt that he will rise off the canvas after he gets knocked
Girl,
out.
anything could happen. Juliana Peña beat Amanda Nunes.
That's
Anything
true.
can happen
She
in this
did. She
thing.
did. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the fight week for sure. And of course the fight, but the fight week. You know they're going to be going back and forth. It's going to be a war of words.
It's gonna be so good. It's gonna be like, this is one, the fight week might be better than the fight, but I don't care. I just, I'll say this, I'll leave it at that, and we'll get into X's and O's next week. I hope Sean Strickland has a good showing. I hope we get a fun fight. I think
I think
after all that, I think there would be nothing better for his entire image to note you say all of these things, but man, how good are you too? And we just don't acknowledge it because of the way you talk. And
he's
I'll leave it
good.
at that. I'll leave
Yeah,
it at that.
okay.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, guys, I know it's been a long show. Thank you for listening. Remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next week.